there is so much going on in Northern Ireland society at the moment around politics and politicians. And don't be thinking that's abstract. Don't be thinking that's nothing to do with you, because this renewable heating scheme story is much more than a mistake. It is much more than a story. What it means is that hundreds of millions of pounds of your money cannot go in to schools, education, other departments in our country, because the money has been squandered. The money has been wasted. People have been putting boilers into sheds and just feeding that heat up into the sky. And the rules that were designed around this, they were designed under Arlene Foster's watch. And whistleblowers came to her. She passed it on to her department. She passed it on to our officials. But then the scandal continued and nothing was stopped. What we can tell you today, there was a spike. Let me set this out before we go any further. There was a spike in October, November 2015. And that's when a considerable amount, we're talking here about tens of millions of pounds, if not into the hundreds of millions of pounds, in that spike in October, November 2015, of your money, it was blown, completely squandered, because people in Northern Ireland were able to exploit the scheme. Remember that date, October, November 2015. And the department are saying, well, they didn't realise that the problem was as big. They didn't realise, actually realise what was going on. Here's what we can tell you today. A month before it, in September 2015, that's before the spike, Ofgem, the regulator, were in daily discussions with Arlene Foster's department. Daily discussions. Now, when I say Arlene Foster's department, by the way, Jonathan Bell was the minister then. Arlene Foster was in the department when the scheme was set up, but by this stage, Jonathan Bell, another DUP MLA, he is the minister. So you have a situation now that Ofgem were in daily discussions with DETI, with that department, telling them about the number of applications that were coming in, making it clear what the impact would be. So remember that they were being told on a daily basis. So how on earth, here's my question this morning, how on earth did the civil servants, the very top civil servants in the country, when Ofgem are telling them what the numbers were, that the numbers were going up, we know that Ofgem were telling them that there was a clear implications of what was going on. Are we seriously to believe that some of the brightest minds in this country sat and watched that and did nothing? What is going on? Jonathan Bell, the minister at the time, why did he not kick in? Why did he not immediately stop the scheme so that our money would be protected? Now, I want you to think about this. Sheds in Northern Ireland, the furnaces burning, not just one boiler. I was told last night, I was out until 2 a.m. last night talking to people about this. There is a man told me he is aware of a shed in Northern Ireland where there are 12 of these boilers. 12 of these boilers. And he's given me the address, by the way. And the heat was being blown up into the sky. 12 boilers burning your money. And what happened? The civil servants seriously just watched this? Just watched this and said, oh my goodness. And Ofgem are saying to them, on a daily basis? Look at this. The regulator's saying to them by this stage, before the spike, look at this. Let's have a listen to Ofgem. This is Ofgem at the PAC committee explaining what they were doing.
To clarify on that, as we said, there was some sort of routine data sharing from June 2013. There was weekly data being provided, which did clarify the number of installations, their size, their technology, from which it was possible to project the committed spend. We were providing monthly financial information, so both Ofgem and the department had access to that same data on a weekly level from June 2013. In addition to that, the matter of cost controls was a matter of public record that the department had consulted on introducing cost controls. It was, you know, that was a topic of frequent conversation between us, but ultimately it was not our duties and our remit and scope was to administer in line with the regulations as they were in place. That is what we have continued to do. We have raised risks in terms of operational delivery, and indeed, once we began to see this particular spike in applications in September, I can confirm, and we were in daily discussion with the department in terms of the number of applications that were being received. It was clear what the impact of that would be in terms of overall impacts on the scheme and budgets. Again, our role has been to share data in line with the arrangements, which, again, I can confirm that we have done, and we have shared data in line with those arrangements we have discussed. Again, we accept the point that some of the governance and minuting around those meetings could have been improved, but that data was available, that shared understanding was there.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, Ofgem, the regulator, who got £1.5 million of your money to regulate, they didn't keep any minutes. No minutes kept. Right up until November 2015, when your money was completely squandered, Ofgem, they didn't keep minutes. So this is a scheme that has ended up costing over £1 billion. Ofgem, they didn't keep minutes. You know, if there's a Boy Scout meeting, they might keep minutes. Ofgem don't keep minutes. And then the substance of what we've just played you today is that they knew. They saw this coming. They saw in October 2015 that there were 429 applications. Now, why is that relevant? In the period November 2012 to March 2015, that's 2.5 years, there were 564 applications. And then it starts to soar. They saw that in April to September 2015, 359 applications. Then they saw in 1 month alone, October 2015, 429 applications. They had the figures in front of them. They could see this coming, and they continued to allow your money to be spent. Jonathan Bell was the minister. Why did he continue to allow this to happen? Arlene Foster was in situ when all of the rules were written which allowed your money to be burnt up in smoke. Who's going to take responsibility for this? Gregory Campbell from the DUP joining us now. Do you understand the public fury about this?
Yes, I hear the public fury, which is based on a whole series of pieces of information that they're getting. And of course, both the Spotlight program and other media outlets since that, including your own, Stephen, have been repeating a mantra. For example, 10 minutes ago when you started, you talked about 100 million of your money has gone up in smoke. And I noticed Mark Davenport last night when interviewing the First Minister talked about clawback of the 400 million. And there appears to be a repeated mantra that the hundreds of millions of pounds, rather than potentially over the course of the next 20 years, has already been wasted and squandered and spent and gone up in smoke in your terms. And that hasn't been the case.
So how much of it do you know we're definitely getting back then?
Hold on. It hasn't been the case. Why do you and the BBC and other media outlets keep repeating a mantra that is inaccurate? It is not the case that hundreds of millions of pounds have been spent, never mind squandered.
Hundreds of millions of pounds are committed contractually.
That's not what you said.
Contractually.
You said at the beginning of this programme, and you've been saying and repeating over the course of 7 days, that hundreds of millions of pounds has been squandered. That is inaccurate. Inaccurate, and you should withdraw it totally and completely because you know it to be wrong. Why do you keep repeating it?
The Northern Ireland Audit Office report has projected it is going to be hundreds of millions of pounds. And you can try this anger
projected,
with me all you like.
Projected,
Gregory.
Projected doesn't mean that it's been squandered and spent, which is what you've been saying for 7 days.
It is.
Why do you keep repeating to the public, the listening public, a totally inaccurate assertion?
It hasn't been spent.
It hasn't been wasted. It hasn't been squandered.
Really?
And what the minister is trying to do now is to put in place a situation over the course of the next few months that ensures that whatever expenditure there is closely monitored and whatever...
Really? And how much will that be spent? How much of that expenditure will there be?
Well, according to you, hundreds of millions has already been squandered.
How much of that expenditure will there be?
Stephen, are you going to apologise for the inaccurate...
Absolutely
comment?
Not. I am not apologising. I am not apologising.
What you've said is wrong, totally and utterly wrong. Why can you not say we made a mistake? What we were talking about was possible projected expenditure rather than 100 million of your money gone up in smoke, which is what you said at 9:07 this morning.
My goodness, the cynic would say that Gregory Campbell is trying to divert away from the fact here that hundreds of millions of pounds of public money has been committed to people over 20 years.
Oh, it's committed
years.
Now, is it?
Yeah, well, in many people's book, Gregory...
that's not the same as saying it's been squandered and spent and gone up in smoke. Your money was completely squandered, you said 5 minutes ago. Was completely squandered.
Correct.
It wasn't. Why are you saying that when it wasn't?
Yes, it is.
Was completely squandered.
Your government and your government is now trying to get our money back. Your government has legally committed documents where people are entitled to that money for the next 20 years. And what you're trying to do is find some type of way of getting it back. I stand over that means public money is committed. And by the way, I'll also point out to the public, is it not a little bit rich, you asking me to apologise when the First Minister of this country has refused to apologise to a whistleblower who came to her, who said, please look at this. She passed it on and then didn't go back to it. If you want to talk about apologies, where's the apology from your leader to the people of this country?
Well, you obviously didn't read the article by the First Minister in this morning's Belfast Telegraph before coming on to do the program.
She was asked by Mark Devenport. She did an interview with Mark Devenport yesterday. Was there an apology in there?
Well, I think she made it very clear that she had done what she could in terms of the whistleblower.
Did she?
Yes, she did. And I think most politicians would do what she had done, which was to pass on comments and information passed to them by a whistleblower onto the relevant department to make sure that they do what they're supposed to do, which is pursue either the claim, the allegation, or the information. Do that, and then they act on any information that comes back.
I'm being told, because I hadn't seen the Telegraph this morning, I'm being told that actually...
You haven't seen the Telegraph this morning?
Correct. I actually, let me just tell you why. I'm digging in and spending day and night digging into a lot of information, and just you wait till we bring that information within the next 48 hours, and then we'll see.
See, whenever people dig in for information...
Correct.
Just always remember, Stephen, That's a two-way process.
That's fine.
Just remember that. That's a two-way process.
That's fine.
Now let's go back to what happened here. Whenever the scheme was coming to a close, and
just before you do so, and then of course I'll let you go on. I've just been given the Belfast Telegraph here.
I'm glad you've got it 15 minutes after the programme started.
I'm sorry that concerns raised by the whistleblower were not dealt with as they should have been. She's sorry the concerns... She didn't apologise to the whistleblower, despite what you inferred just a couple of seconds ago.
You'd said there was no apology.
She didn't apologise to the whistleblower, and she hasn't. Why did you infer that she had? Have you read the Belfast Telegraph?
She acted on the information given to her by the whistleblower.
That's not what you said.
That is what she did, and
Let's get the clip. Let me just talk to my team. Get the clip of what Gregory Campbell said a matter of moments ago, challenging me as to whether Arlene Foster made an apology.
See the team that are checking the clip.
Yeah.
I hope they'll also check the clip that you said at 9:05, $100 million of your money is up in smoke, and then at 9:15, when your money was completely squandered. Two other clips. Perhaps they'll play them as well. Now let's go back to when the scheme was about to close in February, 10 months ago. The minister at the time, Jonathan Bell, said this, and I have the quote in front of me. I have to sound an important warning. Opposing the legislation, now that's the legislation to close the scheme, means opposing the ability to suspend the scheme at all. That means continuing with an open-ended commitment to fund renewable heat, no matter what the cost. End of quote. That's in Hansard, 15th of February 2016, when the minister was saying, we are going to close this scheme. Then a series of people, some of whom have been lining up to be on your programme since last Wednesday and other outlets, and I'm happy to name each and every one of them. Some of those people then...
Well, you haven't been on since last Wednesday. It's the first time you've been on.
You never asked me.
I asked the DUP. We asked the DUP every day.
You never rung me once since last Wednesday, so don't give me that line about trying to get people on. This is the first occasion on which no one has rung me since last Wednesday.
So you don't want us to go through your press office now?
I don't duck questions, even if Nolan and the BBC do. Now let's come back to the February the 15th. The minister made it clear that it was an open-ended scheme if people were going to oppose the legislation. Now, at that stage, going through the lobbies, were the SDLP members, the UUP members, the TUV member, and a series of people who've been on your programme now complaining that the scheme wasn't implemented properly and was much too generous, and their complaint about this expenditure that hasn't yet been incurred. But they were lining up then to vote through an extension of the scheme, which would have meant even more money being spent. And now they're complaining that too much was spent when the minister closed the scheme 10 months ago.
In February you're talking about? You're talking about February 2016?
I am. I'm talking about 10 months ago.
Okay, and here's the question I'm asking, okay? On behalf of the people of this country, when Ofgem, the regulator, were in daily conversations in September 2015, many months before that, why was this scheme not stopped?
I don't know, Stephen. I don't know.
You don't know?
Why would I know? I know this much.
What do you mean, how would you know?
How would I know what Ofgem were telling the department 15 months ago?
Well, I can tell you.
I wasn't in the department. What? I wasn't on the committee. I wasn't the minister.
Well, maybe you should have read into this as much as I have. And why is your party putting you up to be the spokesperson? So let me tell you what Ofgem were doing.
Right.
Let me tell you, sir, what Ofgem were doing. Ofgem were warning the department of the clear impact that the number of applications would mean. They were telling them what the numbers were. They were talking to them on a daily basis. And our public money continued to be spent. Continued, Gregory, to be spent. And if you want to quibble with me over, you know, a legally binding contract, which means the money is committed.
I'm calling that spent. The money has not been squandered and not spent. You were wrong.
It's been legally committed.
you were wrong to say it was.
I'm not going down that avenue again. That's your opinion.
I know why you're not going down the avenue, because of the grave error that you've made that has contributed to the media storm that's going on now. And people are now ringing round to try and see, are their businesses concerned in this, and what sort of heating have you got, and all of this media storm. Whenever the minister...
Media storm.
Yeah, there is
a media storm. Are you for real? Are you serious?
No, you don't read the papers before you come on.
Are you serious? Well, I've been reading plenty of papers, let me tell you.
But not the Telegraph before you came on here.
Watch this space.
Which contained the interview by the First Minister.
Get up early over the next couple of mornings and turn the radio on, and you watch this space what I've been reading.
Yeah, well, that's fine. We'll take that and we'll respond to that as well. We won't duck it, and we won't hide away, and we won't fail to answer questions when they're posed.
Your first minister has called this a scandal. A shocking failure, my apologies. She's called it a shocking failure. Are you telling me this isn't a failure of government, Gregory?
The scheme has gone totally out of control in terms of its implementation. That is clear to anyone who looks at it. What the issue now is a resolution to where we are at the moment. And the Minister for the Economy and the First Minister, and I'm sure the Executive as a whole, are now going to see what it is needs to be done. All the applications that have been approved and cleared are now all going to be checked. And my understanding is that a number of them have already either been terminated or payments are not being made, because they're not being implemented in the way they were supposed to be. Now, that will go on until they go right through every single cleared application.
So they're trying to claw our money back.
That's in order to ensure that money isn't squandered.
It's legally committed to.
Because it hasn't been spent yet.
Sorry, there are legally binding contracts, and what you're trying to do now as a government is go out and audit what you already committed to, try to find where people are maybe scamming us, and then stop the payments being made. That's what you're trying to do.
No, Stephen, the money that you say has been squandered has not been spent. Much of it, the vast majority.
Okay.
Now,
well,
the point here is, if politicians or broadcasters want to stand on ceremony to complain about what has happened, that's okay. They are entitled to do that. The job of government ministers is to ensure that whatever the scheme was intended to convey and the reality of what it is conveying, they need to merge.
Okay.
And that's what Simon Hamilton and the First Minister and the Executive are going to try and do over the course of the next few months. And immediately, as we get into the new year, there will be a proposal brought forward to ensure that that there is a reduction in terms of the potential outlay in the scheme. And I hope all those who have been lining up to complain about this will go in the right lobby this time rather than go in the wrong lobby, which they did 10 months ago. And I'm happy to read out the list of people who voted to extend the scheme.
David,
and there wasn't one of them from our party. Not one of them.
David Ford from the Alliance Party has asked to speak to you this morning. Morning to you, David.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm glad in the last few minutes you've actually made the clear point that money may not already have been spent, but money which is contractually obliged to be spent is as good as spent over the next 20 years. And I think Gregory is being technical in his choice of words, but not conveying the right impression when he suggests otherwise. I also think it's very clear when he talks about the implementation was wrong, that the implementation was exactly in line with the policy that was signed off by the minister. So the minister can't evade responsibility by saying this was purely the implementation. The implementation, as far as we know, in the great majority of cases, was exactly as the scheme was designed and was not fraudulent in the sense that it was in line with the scheme. Whether people think it was moral is an entirely different issue.
Do you want to respond to that, Gregory?
Yes. I'm just wondering, David, how did you vote in February?
Well, actually, I wasn't there, but I was doing other ministerial business that day, as far as I recall.
Your colleagues, then?
Well, what he's pointing out to you, Gregory, is that the money was committed.
No, it wasn't spent.
Never mind squandered. It was
I never have said that it has been spent.
No,
I've made it absolutely clear that the contractual obligation is as good as spent.
Yes, but David, the person who's conducting this interview between us did say that. He did
but
and he and others have said that over the course of the past week, it is inaccurate.
Okay.
It is wrong.
I'm not defending Stephen's words, Gregory, but you've also said the implementation was wrong, Gregory.
Yes,
and the implementation was exactly as it was signed off as a policy matter by the minister. So you can't just blame the implementation, because the implementation was as the policy was agreed by the minister.
Well David, do you accept that, I mean, this seems to be getting lined up in the course of the past 7 days for a Get Arlene sort of campaign. Do you accept that during Arlene Foster's time in the Deputy Department, the precursor to the Economy Department, that the scheme was underspent rather than overspent? Do you accept that that's the case?
That may or may not be the case.
But do you accept that?
That's not the relevant point.
But do you accept
the point is whether the minister got the policy right. And I know when I was Minister of Justice, you and your colleagues expected me to account for policy decisions taken in the Department of Justice, and sometimes operational decisions which were taken by people who worked for the Department of Justice.
Well, that's the way the system works. I'll come back, David, to the point I made at the start. How did your colleagues vote whenever there was a proposition before the Assembly on the 15th of February 2016, that's 10 months ago, to either stop the scheme as we wanted in the DUP or to prolong the scheme as a series of other parties wanted to do? How did
There was a real issue at that time about having There was a proper issue about having an orderly rundown. As far as I remember, a number, but not all, of my colleagues voted on the concept that there should be an orderly rundown in the scheme and not the panic way in which it was treated by the DUP.
All right.
I think that means they voted to extend the scheme. I think that's what that means.
Okay. Yes. Let's calm this down 1 second. So, just to be clear, because I want the public to understand this, okay? When I am talking about your public money being spent, I am talking about a commitment, a legally binding commitment.
That's not what you said at 5 past 9.
Let me finish my sentence. I am talking about a legally binding commitment to spend your money, which means that the government cannot plan to spend that money on other departments. They can't do it. Indeed, what they're trying to do is find where they can make savings, because this money is committed. Because there's a huge, quote, overspend. Okay, the total commitment to your money to the 31st of March 2016 is £1.18 billion. That's a commitment, legally binding commitment to spend your money. What Gregory is saying this morning is because physically the money hasn't left the bank account, it's not spent. What I'm saying is it's legally binding committed to be spent. And that's where the difference is between Gregory Campbell and I this morning.
Well, I welcome your clarification, Stephen, and I look forward to hearing the clip from 9:05 when you said 100 million of your money has gone up in smoke.
Correct.
And then 10 minutes later,
money
was
up in smoke,
completely squandered, end of quote.
You wouldn't be trying diversionary tactics here, Gregory, would you?
No, I don't do that, Stephen.
No,
I answer questions. I'm not like the BBC. I don't avoid them. I answer them.
Good man.
Whenever you quoted, when your money was, past tense, was completely squandered,
yes,
end of quote.
Squandered.